someone took a picture of me just like spread eagle, like with umbilical cord still there. I mean, like they cut it off, but like, you know, there's still parts there, yeah. I guess. This was in the 90s. What's up, you guys? Welcome to the show. In this episode, I interview my friend Claire. She is a birth doula. If you don't know what that is, she basically helps the families throughout the whole process of birth, from like, I guess, the second trimester of birth to the day of labor. And before that, we also talk about how she came to know Jesus. Yeah, we talked about some really good things here. We talked about basic prayer stuff and some reflections that we've had throughout the years of following Jesus. And then we transitioned to what it's like being a doula. That was a really fun conversation as well. I did my best to be mature throughout the whole segment of birth, but I failed. So I'm just going to apologize for that in advance. It wasn't too bad, but anyways, it was a great conversation. Hope you guys enjoy the show. All right, cheers to this podcast.
Cheers to this podcast. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for the kombucha. Project.
You're welcome. Brewed it myself.
Claire, why don't you just start by like introducing yourself with a thought of just like sharing how you came about learning about Jesus, basically.
My name's Claire Allenson. I'm 22 years old. I live in Eagan, Minnesota right now, which is about an hour, give or take, north of where I grew up, Faribault, Minnesota. And I grew up Catholic. I'm what you would call a cradle Catholic. And I never really, like, I was never really the sort of kid who was, like, very rebellious growing up. I've always been really rule-oriented. And so for that reason, like, Catholicism appealed to me even before I understood the reason for the rules, if that makes sense. I could appreciate the structure of the Mass. I could appreciate how consistent it was from week to week. And I don't have memories of like even not wanting to go to Mass or not wanting to like have formation in my early years. I, for the most part, really enjoyed it. And then getting into middle school, it was a really tough time for me. I was homeschooled, which all in all was a really great experience. But in middle school, like a lot of people, I was just like really struggling with my view of myself, and just like started to equate people's approval of me to be like the end all be all for how I saw myself. And I know that that happens for a lot of people, and people turn to different things like to figure out who they are, I guess. And to me, like, I just wanted to be approved of, like, especially by figures of authority. So I remember like going out of my way to have conversations with like my friend's parents to make sure that they, you know, approved of me and thought I was like a good influence on their child and stuff like that. I wanted to be viewed as responsible and like trustworthy. And that kind of, although that was all like, I think came from a good place of like wanting to be a good kid, ended up becoming really detrimental to me when there were people in my life who just didn't like me very much or didn't approve of me in the ways that I wanted. And two, like going through this phase where like I just really like hated my body and had a lot of shame, which I know that that, again, it's something that everyone goes through to a different degree. And through that, everything kind of got muddled up. And then I also had the new information of knowing that my dad had a son before he met my mom, which now I really love my brother Chris, and he's like a person who I really treasure having in my life. But at that time, it felt like a betrayal because I didn't know about him. And so that kind of took me from being in a place where I trusted the people around me to tell me how good I was, and how like worthy of love I was, to taking me to a place where, I isolated myself essentially, especially from my dad, as a result of that experience. So, I went through high school, had a lot of really good friends and, people who were very edifying in my relationship with the Lord, lifelong friends that I still keep in close touch with now. And there were people who were really willing to get to the heart of what I was experiencing in life. They didn't just want to be around for, you know, like the fun things, the fun aspects of my life, but they were willing to like listen to me and cry with me and be present when I was experiencing a lot of betrayal and self-hatred. Also around that time, feeling like really unworthy again at this point, like I knew God through the people around me, and I was attending mass and like going through youth ministry events and stuff and going to everything I could, but it was more for the social aspect than for my actual relationship with God. And I remember very distinctly being in a place where I just really like didn't like myself very much. And the areas I did like about myself mostly came from what the people around me were saying was good about me. And I remember just having curiosity about how my body worked and why I got my period. That was really the start of it. And I remember researching or looking up, like, why does this happen? I don't think it was like explained to me, or if it was like not in a way that I understood. And that's how I came across like awareness about like my fertility and the reality that God had a plan for my body that had been set into motion way before I could ever recognize it. And yeah, so that brought up an interest in me to like know more about my own reproductive health, and also a desire to support other women. And the way I do that now is through conversations with my friends. If they are struggling or have questions, I'm no expert, but I'm fascinated with it and really amazed with like the way that my body operates, and the way like that the female body is capable of creating life, and sustaining life. And so, yeah, through conversations and also through being a birth doula, which is a great joy. I get to be a companion to women while they're preparing for the delivery of a child through the entire labor and postpartum as well. And both of those passions like really came out of this realization that God is constantly causing me to live. And through any function of my body, through any function of my behavior in the world or my relationship with other people, really just tells a story of like how meticulous he is in bringing good into the world and into my own life. And so like, of course I've come to know God through many other ways, but that to me is like the metaphor for how he has worked in my life, is that anytime he brings to my attention something he's doing in my life, it always has deeper roots that he has set up, I mean, since I've been alive, you know, things that he has done little by little and consistently working through whether I recognize it or not, to bring me to the place I am now and ultimately to bring like, to bring me closer to him and to bring health and like a lot of new life into the world. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like what you said about how that metaphor of our bodies is a metaphor for like his plan for us. There's always a reason. It just shows how intentional he really is.
Yeah.
It goes back to even before I actually really dove into this faith, I've always believed that there's no such thing as an accident. Mm-hmm. Everything is part of some sort of plan that like the universe or whatever, you know, has. And so, yeah, that's really cool. Can you share, like, is there like that one moment that you remember that, like, because you shared that, you know, you've been to church and like you grew up in rural Minnesota, therefore like something about the Catholic Church being like constant, you know, you just kind of got it because of how you were brought up. That was attractive to you. It was very natural to you.
Yeah.
And that's great. But was there a moment where the person of Jesus just became more real? Do you remember that?
Yeah. I definitely remember a switch from knowing Jesus as a historic figure or as like someone I learned details about, to when he became someone who was relevant to me for sure. And that was, I kind of skipped over it, I guess. whoops. That was probably around my freshman year. So, in preparation for my confirmation, receiving confirmation, I liked the idea of Jesus, and I'd been through challenges and like clung to the friends I'd met at church to get through, like, you know, like the different family struggles I was experiencing. But I guess the main switch over to me where I knew Jesus to be a person was the first time I had a legitimate heartfelt prayer instead of just reciting prayers. The first time I was sitting in a church and I felt so like any of the songs, any of the prayers I knew were inadequate to express what I wanted to say to him. And I knew before that we could pray with our own words, but I didn't do it. Or if I did, it was simple. It was just very simple, small prayers, which are also good. But it was the first time where I really sat there and I was just like, I need you to tell me who I am. Because I don't know, like, I really don't know who I am at all. And anything I do know about myself, is just what I felt like I was just regurgitating what the people around me were saying about me. And it was an experience that was innately human, getting to know Jesus as a person in that moment. It wasn't like a big booming voice from heaven or anything like that. It was just that feeling that you get when you're sitting with somebody and you just know that it's just person to person. It's just like so human. And no matter what you're talking about, you know what I mean? Like, it can be something like really deep and intimate, or it can be something pretty superficial, but I think pretty much anybody can recognize that feeling when you're with someone and you know that you're just 110% present and you're just there with that person. And that was the feeling that came over me. And like I said, it was like so familiar and so comforting and life altering, because that meant that I couldn't just see my faith anymore as something that I did to check a box or something that I did to appear a certain way, or to like adhere to my scrupulous ways of just wanting to follow the rules. But that this whole time, all that it was ever about was the relationship. That the real reason that I go to Mass, yes, it's because, it's what I believe gives me nourishment in the Eucharist, but the reason why I can receive the Eucharist is because the God who loves me wants to nourish me and wants to just have one more moment with me and to look at me and to have me look at him. That's, that was a really big moment for me and marked that other development that I was... that I just shot right into, about being able to appreciate that all along, like he had been working all along. And I'm still coming to realize that. I think really seeing Jesus as a person is something I'll be discovering for the rest of my entire life until I die. And then I'll see him as a person even more. So, yeah.
No, that's awesome. Cause, actually that's something I was praying through this week, just these past couple of days. I think it has something to do with the readings that we've had this week, especially the gospel this Sunday. It's from Mark. Yeah, it was from Mark. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, whatever else. I can't quote scripture. I can.
God and stuff.
Yeah, all that, you know, and all the things. And I remember like praying through that, and I was actually sitting in like in adoration, and I remember just sitting there, and I've read that before, but I just, you know, it was one of those scripture passages that I just kind of blow over.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, I know, mm-hmm. you know, like love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, and strength or something. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look it up because I don't want
to. It's the sort of Bible verse that, like, it's the sort of Bible verse your mom would print out, mm-hmm. you know, or like get on a, like, you know, in calligraphy writing and post yeah. somewhere, you know? And so yeah. you look at it and you're like, oh, it's decor. It's one of those decor type mm. gospel or, you know, Bible verses, but yeah. really it's just truth. That's yeah. what it is.
Yeah. You'd see it at Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. He just says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And I think, and I almost blew it over, but I don't know, something just kind of like caught my eye, or like, I almost like dropped it, like just kind of like closed the Bible and just kind of like, all right, anyways, back to what I was trying to say to you, God.
Yeah.
But instead I actually had this moment of like, okay, if you actually think about it, mm-hmm. that's a lot to ask.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like at that moment when I read that, I was like, when I read it after like three times, I'm like, that's like a lot yeah. to ask someone, you
it's
know?
Like, all I want, the only thing I want is everything.
Yeah, God.
Literally all I want is everything that you are. So it's so simple. It's so easy. Just do it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, and that's actually when I like stopped and said, what? Like, uh-huh. okay, how? And then I went through this, like, this thought process of how do I even love someone that I don't even know fully?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, like, I know God, like, you know, I pray and stuff and I go to church and all that. And, like, but I still don't know him fully.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I know that is because when I go to pray, I forget that I'm praying to God. Like, I forget. It's easy for me to forget the weight I have, or like the, just, I get so used to praying. That's a problem with like yeah. checkbox mentalities. Uh-huh. We get used to it and it's just like, whatever, you know? Like as Catholics, if I believe that the Eucharist is Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that should do something to me.
Yeah.
Every single time I show up.
Mm-hmm.
But even before I got here, I came from adoration, and it was just like, it was really hard for me to really enter in. And so, yeah, back to the point, like, I really got to like really break that down and ask like, okay, how do I even love someone like that if I don't even know? And then my brain went to, well, I need to know you first,
mm-hmm.
right? I need to like know you fully first. And then I like stopped with that because I realized I will never fully know him.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like I figured I just have to go and I just have to try and I just have to keep going. And yeah, like basically the theme of that prayer was God is not a God of results.
Mm-hmm.
He's a God. Like I will know him through the process of trying to know him, mm-hmm. instead of like thinking, oh, once I cross these like boxes, then I'll know him. And then I get to love you fully. Like, no, it's now, like it can start now. So yeah.
Yeah.
Can you share like what a doula is and why you wanted to be a doula?
Yeah, definitely. So a doula is a birth companion. Which, yeah, essentially means that I am there to support the mother, to support the family, through one of their major life events of having a child, bringing a child into the world. I don't replace a doula, or I don't replace a midwife. I don't replace a doctor. I don't catch any babies. That's not what I do. Yeah. What I do is that I meet with the mom, with the family, usually in the second trimester is usually when I like to get on board, but depending on the situation, it might be a different time in the pregnancy. And I don't make any decisions for the family. I only act as a soundboard for helping the mom decide what sort of labor she wants and what kind of medications she wants. I'm a place where she can process any fears or hopes that she has for the birth. I ask her who she wants in the delivery room, who she doesn't want in the delivery room, and, you know, if there's anything that I can provide for comfort, or whether that be like being there for physical support or just bringing along a playlist music to have in the room or whatever it is. I kind of play it by ear.
So you sound like, you sound like a wedding planner, but for the coming of a child. That's what, that's what I'm getting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pretty much. I just like fit the situation. So like, I don't, like I said, I don't like make decisions for people. I'll explain what experience I have with whatever, like, you know, like hypnobirthing or any other.
Okay, wait,
like,
what's hypnobirthing?
So hypnobirthing, I'm not like, like I said, I'm not like an instructor for hypnobirthing. I've been a part of two hypnobirths. It's just a way that people can, like, you know, have you ever, okay, so have you ever done one of those things where you're listening to somebody, they usually have a really relaxing voice, and they tell you, relax, okay, relax from the top of your head, and relax the muscles in your eyebrows, and it goes, you know what, blah, blah, blah. So normally for hypnobirths, the mom will be listening to a track of, like, like kind of
Post
a reflection.
Malone. Oh, sorry.
Yes, Post Malone usually.
Okay.
And it just kind of essentially puts the mom in an experience of her birth where she's not like, okay, getting ready for the next contraction, getting all worked up about it, you know, like really focusing on the pain or focusing on the end result, and instead being able to relax, let the contractions do the work, and like let her body do what it's naturally meant to do. So essentially it's like a way of distracting from the pain and the potential trauma of being in like prolonged times of like a painful and stressful birth.
I thought it was like
hypnotism. I don't hypnotize anybody. It's, there is an element of like, I guess, hypnotism in the sense, air quotes, in the sense that anytime you're really focused on something, you could say you're hypnotized. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's true.
But yeah. And I mean, yeah. So basically I support the mom and the family in, the avenue that they take, whether that be, you know, scheduling an induction or wanting to induce labor, to induce labor, or if they want to go totally natural, have a home birth, whatever it is. I help the mom provide, like, information on those things and then support her in the decision that she makes. And then I'm there for the whole labor from start to finish. I don't leave the side of the mom. I offer physical support, emotional support, and depending on the person, I've had the privilege of getting to pray with people while they're in labor. That's been a beautiful experience. And yeah, again, kind of fit the situation. And then after the baby's born, I do like visits, home visits with them, help them learn how to nurse, and kind of troubleshoot whatever challenges came up that maybe they were expecting, maybe they weren't, of having a new baby.
Now, does everyone have the luxury of having a doula?
There's
really,
anyone could, depending on your location in the world. Obviously, that might pose a challenge, but there are doulas who work for free. There are doulas that you can pay a lot of money to do what they do. To do what they doula.
And you're free, right? You're free?
I will charge depending on my relationship with the person, okay. I guess. So I have charged for my services before. It's really, you know, I'm on call mm-hmm. for whatever time around
yeah. the baby being born. Wait, you're actually free?
Sometimes, if I'm really close with the Whoa, person. It depends. It depends on the situation.
That's like, oh, man. Okay.
How I've been phrasing it lately is, although it's in a sense another job,
yeah,
it's not my day job, and it's more of an extreme hobby because it's something that I love to do, and that's why I do it. I don't like my purpose for doing it is not necessarily to support myself financially.
Okay,
it's more as a way that I can support my friends and my loved ones and offer a gift of my skill. Mm-hmm. And I have the privilege of having a really great day job that wants me to live my dreams. And they're like, if you want to be a doula, we want to support you in doing that. So I can, you know, I have a deal set up with them that I can leave work if one of my doula moms goes into labor. And I am hugely grateful for that. Yeah. Shout out to Midwest Special Services. They're the best.
Shout out. That's awesome. I thought it was like one of your main hustles. Mm-hmm. Like I thought, you know, people have like multiple hustles, but I didn't know it was like a hustle.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Yeah. That's
basically.
Yeah. When I,
like if you didn't need money, you'd do uh-huh. it for free.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely one of those things where I got into it because I was passionate about it. And especially when I'm dueling for strangers, you know, it's a more like client. It's like a more professional relationship. I'll charge, not like a lot of money, but I'll charge. And it's made the transition that I was hoping for when I first trained to be a doula, where I could eventually get to the point where I doula for my friends and the people that I love and do it essentially as a gift. So like, you know, at yeah. baby showers when people are like, here's some booties. I'm like, here, I'll, you know, catch your vomit or whatever.
Wait, you've caught vomit?
Yeah. Well, just people throw up sometimes when they're giving birth. It's fine.
I didn't know that.
Oh, it's just a mechanism. It's just a natural mechanism of the body when someone's in pain.
Oh, I'm trying to be mature right now. I just didn't know.
Yeah, it's okay.
I didn't know. My only like experience of like birth besides my own, which I don't remember. It's been like 28 years.
I was like, do you remember that?
Yeah, it was really dark. And then all of a sudden I just saw hands. I just saw hands and it slapped me in the ass. And I was like, well, I'm here.
The morning world.
Yeah, yeah. And then for some reason, someone decides to cut this thing that's been feeding me for 9 months.
Yeah.
Or I don't know how long it's been. I don't know how long umbilical cords. Fun fact, I have a picture of my first ever birthday on my phone.
Really?
Yes.
Can I see it?
I kind of show it as a joke for my friends because it's really uncomfortable for them. If you're one of those friends, you know what I'm talking about? It's pretty like the cord is still on me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like I just came out.
Who took the picture?
I have no clue. But I'm so glad that happened.
That someone took it.
Someone took a picture immediately of me just like spread eagle, like with umbilical cord still there. I mean, like they cut it off, but like, you know, there's still parts there, yeah. I guess. This was in the 90s. While. Yeah. Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. I don't have any experience with, so besides my own birth, which I don't remember, I only know like from that photo.
Yeah.
And health class freshman year of high school.
Oh yeah.
You know, a birthing video, which I thought was so traumatic. Yeah, exactly. It was very traumatic. Like water was coming out mm-hmm. and like the baby just slid out. Like it just kind of like, it looked like, it almost looked, have you seen Ace Ventura?
Yeah.
Have you seen that one scene where he comes out of a rhino?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of my childhood movies.
You think
it's like
that
inappropriate for little kids? I think that I totally watched. Oh no, it as like I a 3-year-old.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I still love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think that had anything to do with you wanting to be a doula?
Is the fact that I watched Ace Ventura as a child? Oh, yeah, that's where it all began.
Okay.
No.
I mean, I think...
Not really. Okay. It was because I came from a family of 10 children. Yeah, and so I have, like I mentioned before, that older half-brother, an older sister, and, yeah, and then just, like, a bunch more kids. And I always, like, some of my earliest memories are, like, just being psyched about a new sibling and like helping my mom get ready and like wanting to go to ultrasounds and wanting to go and, you know, like learn all about the process of the baby developing. And I think I asked to go to a birth the first time when I was like maybe 6 years old. My brother Owen was born and I was like, please, mom, please, please let me go.
So were you like, were you like supporting your mom as she was giving birth? Was your dad there?
I couldn't go.
Oh, they didn't let you.
Like, no. Yeah.
So, that was probably smart, right? Like a 6-year old probably shouldn't be there.
I think it depends on the circumstances, I think. But yeah, I mean, I think my mom was totally justified in not wanting me there. I adhere to this philosophy as a doula now that if a mom doesn't want somebody in the room as they're giving birth, it is absolutely their right. For whatever reason, they can be like, sorry, you don't get to be in here. And that's all right, because it can really affect how that birth goes, you know, and their memory of that birth. Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, I would like to think that, okay, so here's what I would want to happen. If, you know, let's say in the future, I just so happen to find a woman that's willing to spend the rest of her life with me.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, we're gonna have some babies, right? Yeah. I want to be there for her, mm-hmm. you know? And I have to admit, it's for selfish reasons. I want to strap a GoPro to my wife's forehead. And I'll have a GoPro as well on my forehead. Yeah. So then we have like,
whoa,
you know, we just have that.
And you can cut it together.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. And if there's a way that I can plant a GoPro in my kid's head before he comes out, which is probably unlikely, but you know, it'd be sweet. Get like 3 different perspectives of birth and the doctor's perspective of the birth.
Oh yeah. That'd
you know,
be great.
And like, yeah, I think that would be awesome.
Uh-huh, definitely. I think that's something you should definitely talk to this future wife of yours about. But
I figure I just strap it on her without her knowing.
Oh, and just like, and then she won't notice the one, she'll be too focused.
Yeah, I mean, so another experience I have of births, I mean, I'm not involved in this at all, again. Have you seen the video of the Try Guys on BuzzFeed?
Yeah.
And they like, do the, I don't know what it's called, but they like attach things to, you know, in their private parts to, what's the word? I don't know what word I'm...
Like?
To, not facilitate, to...
Essentially mimic.
Yes, to mimic the pain of labor.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know where I'm going with this.
You saw that and it scared you?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. And yeah. I feel really bad for women.
Yeah.
But
it's a major life event, though. And
yeah, it is. For sure.
You know, there's a lot of things that can come up in birth. And like for any women who've experienced like some form of trauma in their lives or like sexual assault in their life, labor can bring up a lot of really unexpected negative emotions along with the positive emotions of like having a kid and starting that new chapter of their life. So definitely like it's important for your future if you're called to being a father and a husband someday that you're just present to be like a pillar of support. And don't feel like you're going to be prepared for everything that happens because you won't.
I already know
nobody
that.
Nobody can be.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's going to be okay.
Okay.
Because there's a baby on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know of countless, not countless. I'm no expert.
Hundreds
of births. No. What am I trying to do here? No, I don't mean to be overly insensitive to the birth process. Because yeah. I do know it's yeah. like, it's very serious and there's a lot of complications. And, you know, like in my, I'm not proactive in learning about it because I don't need to.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But when I do hear of things that are very serious, uh-huh. it like changes my attitude towards the whole situation.
Yeah.
For example, I didn't know like a C-section was such a major surgery.
It's a very major surgery. Yeah.
I had no, my mom went through C-section. I was like, okay, they cut you up. Like that was, granted, I was like 11 when it happened, yeah. but like, that was my
own. You were 11 when the C-section happened?
Yeah, so my youngest brother.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not you.
Not me. I mean, if I was 11.
Yeah, then that would have been complicated.
Yes, very complicated.
And, yeah, problematic. Yeah, but at the same time, like, for, I can only speak from my own experience. The births I've had the honor of being a part of have revealed, like, a potency of strength that I haven't seen anywhere else. Just like human strength. Mm. Like there's a point, no matter how difficult, the labor is, no matter how long it is or, what sort of complications are going on. There's this just like super tangible power that is like, just like coursing through the mom. And there'll be different points in the labor where it's just like, funny things happen because it's just like so human.
Yeah.
It's like such just like a human thing to do. Yeah.
Have you seen a father like pass out?
No, but one time I was a doula. Like I said, I don't catch babies, but one time I was hired to catch the dad. Would that be the case? Like I was meeting with them and the mom was just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't really feel like I need a doula, but he does. So you're just going to be here. And it was fine. He was fine. He had, yeah, he was okay. He knew his limit where he was like, oh, if he was starting to feel like he would just leave the room.
Is it because he doesn't like blood or?
Yeah, he had a hard time with blood. He also loved his wife and had a hard time seeing her in pain, you know?
Okay, see, that's another thing I didn't think about. See, yeah, okay, so that's, oh, wow, that's hard.
Yeah.
Because like, okay, that's another thing about men is like if, once we feel useless,
yeah,
it sucks, uh-huh. especially when that's happening.
Right.
Like, there's literally nothing the man can uh-huh. do.
Right.
Just watch her
yeah.
in pain mm-hmm. as this child leaves her body.
Right.
Like, who is your child, you know? Uh-huh.
But that's kind of, like, one of the things I do as a doula as well, is I don't try to, like, replace the dad. Like, the father has a very specific role in that whole relationship, in that situation. And I'm not there to be like, listen, the professional's here. You can just go, you know, smoke a cigar in the waiting room. You can't do that in hospitals anymore. You cannot.
This is us.
Don't do that. But like, as being a doula and as kind of like supporting and coaching the mother, knowing what sort of positions we can try, what we can do for pain relief and whatever it is. In my mind and what I hope to do is free the father to be the dad in that situation because that's already a really new uncharted territory and he doesn't need to know how to be a doula on top of it.
What's the best thing? Like, okay.
Like for, he should learn for, how to, you know, for, like navigate birth, but yeah.
I mean, they go to classes for that, right?
Yeah, you should.
Okay, mm-hmm. They should. So some people don't?
Yeah, but you should. Do it.
Go. Okay, so what if there's someone out there listening? What if there are people listening to this mm-hmm. and they either are pregnant,
right?
Know someone pregnant, or they kind of want to be a doula.
Right.
I don't know. Who do you want to talk to right now? What do you have to say to them?
So if you're looking for a doula, want to know more about what doulas do, or want to become one, there's a lot of really great resources online. There's a lot of really great websites and organizations. I was certified through an organization called DONA, D-O-N-A, and they're really the most reputable doula certification program in the United States. Yeah, and it's great because actually Minnesota is the highest doula per capita in America. Yeah, we got a lot of doulas here and a lot of recognition for the benefit of having somebody in a doula role at a birth.
Why do you think that is in Minnesota?
I don't know. I should know.
Is it the Minnesota nice?
I think it's just the culture here, like having Mayo Clinic and having, you know, some really strong like medical programs here, recognize the benefit in having an emotional support person at the birth. And because of that recognition, there's been, yeah, a lot more awareness and like accessibility to, like I said, doulas whose services are in all price ranges and stuff like that. DONA also will have information on their website of like essentially meet and greets where you can go and meet doulas, meet somebody who's in your price range or different things like that. There's lots of resources there. And also it has information for training to become a doula yourself.
Okay. Out of all the female celebrities, you know, who would you like to see as a doula?
Oh,
that's a great question. I'm very proud of that one.
Wow, you caught me off guard.
3 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
Julie Roberts.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good. Why? Why Julia?
I don't know. I just feel like she suits me.
What movie made you love her?
I don't know. I think just seeing her face, right? Doesn't her face just calm you down?
I mean, she is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up kind of watching Julia Roberts movies because of my mom. So I grew up watching Erin Brockovich, My Best Friend's Wedding, which is it's a good movie. Pretty Woman.
Julie Andrews. I'm sorry. Wrong one. I'm an idiot. Please edit that out, Goji. I'm such a dummy. If Will sees that,
you,
he'll stop being friends with me.
You just mistook Julia Andrews for Julia Roberts. Julie Andrews.
Edit that out.
That's really sad. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I mean, the same can be said with my situation. I grew up watching Sound of Music.
Yeah.
And that's basically it.
How'd that happen? I was thinking about birth. That's... Oh.
Will Kratt, if you're watching this, disown this woman.
He will. He's in love with her.
Julia Roberts or Julie Andrews? She can't sing anymore. Do you know that?
What?
That's what I heard. Oh. Like, because it's just, I don't know. I could be wrong. Anyways.
Wow. I'm ashamed.
It's okay. Oh my gosh. I'm going to be late for my next podcast interview.
Really?
Yeah. It's in 15 minutes. Okay. Well, thank you for being on the show. This was such a hard pivot. We had to end this because I'm late for another interview. But
very busy man.
I'm very busy.
There's all kinds of people pining for your attention.
That's not true. That's not true. I ask people to be my podcast. It's not the other way around. So Claire, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I've really appreciated the input and the insight that I never knew existed with, birth and being a doula. Last words.
Thank you for, interviewing me for this podcast.
You're welcome.
And I guess I just would like to give the encouragement that, I guess anyone who is like looking for either support for themselves or opportunity to support somebody else, just look up because there's lots of people out there. I have had the honor of getting to know different ways that I can support people in the world through being a doula, through supporting individuals with disabilities, and being involved in youth ministry. And I really know that all three of those areas have given me much more than I could ever give. Like, I've received much more than I've ever given. And obviously I'm not perfect at it, but I guess that's kind of what ties together all of my life experience, and I'm grateful to be able to share that. And I'm grateful for the people in my life who've supported me.
Great. Thanks, Claire. I really appreciate you being a good doula. If, you know, if I just so happen to be married and have a pregnant wife, and if she wants you to be a doula, I'll let you know.
Thanks.
And you'll probably catch me. I think that's what's gonna happen. I need a doula.
Okay. Oh, I can definitely be your doula.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Claire.
Yeah. Okay.